About 100 years ago, the Russian composer Stravinsky wrote the classic production of The Soldier's Tale, L'Histoire du Soldat. But have you heard it in Hawaiian? Well, listen to this.
Aia ma vaina o hilo lawa o kona, e hoi ai ke kahi koa I kona hale. Na hulu vale no kāna no ka ho'omaha ana mai ke kaua. Hele vāvai oia, ho'omaha, kia moe, ala a hele hou vale aku. O ka hele ka hana mau a ke koa.
We sat down with director Todd Farley to talk about an upcoming adaptation of the classic with Chamber Music Hawaii entitled Mo'olelo o Ke Koa.
It seemed to give itself over to a Hawaiian interpretation. I had performed the piece before with the Pasadena Symphony and had wanted to remount it here in Hawaii. Yet the storyline itself didn't seem appropriate, you know, it's based in the concept of a soldier returning home from war there in Europe. And yet, the struggle that the character had with the devil and materialism and the concepts of feeling displaced from culture and society after struggle and war was an easy parallel into Hawaiian histories and the Hawaiian history of wrestling with colonization as well as materialism that was brought along with colonization. So as I started to look at it, it just fell into place just to be a perfect story to be retold in a Hawaiian context.
So you grew up in Hilo.
That's
so
right.
What did you use in the Hawaiian culture and how does it blend into this?
Well, so first off, I decided to place it in Hilo as far as its setting. So the soldier starts his journey from Kona side on his way to Hilo. It's placed in like the late 1800s, early 1900s as far as the setting. So colonization has just started to take place. And they're just right at this point, the Hawaiian people are starting to wrestle with that idea. So the devil enters into the scene to tempt our soldier, our warrior Koa, with the idea of being able to see the future and to gain financial gains and wealth as is defined in European standards. And he exchanges his own violin, which he has, for this book of futures. And thus begins this terrible journey into wealth as a means of trying to find happiness, which of course is ever elusive. And then in the second part, he departs from that and he goes to a colonized foreign land. And in that land, he discovers a princess who he heals of her malady and rediscovers life, only to lose it again to the wiles of the devil and trying to blend his past and his present and his future together. It's a classic story of you know, a man meets devil, makes a negotiation, and then loses out.
Right. You make a pact with the devil, and oh, boy.
And it'll bite you back. That's right.
And so did this just come to you?
I was in discussion with Joe Stapek from the University of Hawaii, and we were discussing various projects that we wanted to do in integrating mime movement, Hawaiian theater with instrumentation, classical music. And this piece came up because it's actually the 100th anniversary of Stravinsky's Soldier's Tale, or Histoire de Soldat, as a piece that would be relevant for the times. Again, relevant as reinterpreted to the Hawaiian context. So we started to play around with how we would do that at the University of Hawaii, where I am currently finishing up my own MFA. And he had contact with the Chamber Music Hawaii, who was wanting to celebrate that 100th as well. So he said, well, why don't we join up with them and have a discussion? In our first discussions, we talked about maybe doing the production in Pidgin and English and Hawaiian mix, and or perhaps even recasting the whole story into a Hawaiian pre-colonial context. But as we talk to various kumu and various other historians, as well as our Hawaiian leaders of theater, it became apparent that the best story would be actually told completely in Hawaiian with English subtext or supertext for those who don't speak Hawaiian, and just to parallel the interpretation. So I translated the original French text to English, and then we had a Hawaiian team translate my English into Hawaiian, and then had the cast who's actually performing it in Hawaiian critique it and tweak it and find it so that it's natural for them. And then Kumu Haile Baker from the University of Hawaii, she's our theater expert as far as Hawaiian theater, and she helped critique the context of that and sort of mold it so that we could have these parallelisms take place in a appropriate way. One of the techniques that we use in translating, I'm also a theologian, and I work with languages, ancient languages, Hebrew, Latin, Greek. And one of the traditions that you have in translation is either a literal translation or a figurative translation. And the idea was to take a literal translation of the story, but to change the places, the symbols, the ideas to the Hawaiian parallel. And it worked perfect. So, for instance, there's a scene where the devil is challenging the soldier to dress appropriately as a person who's an appropriate warrior. And the warrior, our warrior, Koa, always picks the Hawaiian implement, the Hawaiian helmet, the Hawaiian battle axe. And the devil says, no, that's not right. Here's a fencing foil. Oh, no, that's not right. You know, here's a army helmet. And there's just this perfect, wonderful story parallel where we can show the contrast between European culture and a Hawaiian culture inside the story. And again, as we discussed that and as we worked that through with advisors, the context of the school, with the symphony, it just fell into place.
It's magical when that happens, huh?
Oh, it really is. And it's quite delightful that a story that was written 100 years ago just seamlessly fit with inside of this particular context.
Right. It finds new life within a different culture.
That's right. And it's exciting because there was a tradition here in Hawaii since the late 1800s to translate classical texts, European texts even, into the Hawaiian language. So in this renaissance of the Hawaiian language, in the renaissance of so much that's taking place within Hawaiiana, it's exciting to see something like that reemerge, where we're finding classical works of European history, finding a Hawaiian interpretation in Hawaiian appropriate place.
And then what about the music part of it?
The music stays the same. So the music is absolutely what Stravinsky wrote. And, that was a question of whether or not we should translate it into Hawaiian instrumentation or whether or not that. But again, if the whole concept of the story is this wrestling between colonization and European ideas and Hawaiian ideas, the music works very, very well. For instance, there are various scenes where the devil's playing the violin. And it's the sound of that violin that's changing the scene and overcoming and tempting the queen, the princess Koa, inside of our story. So it actually becomes a fabulous instrument of communication of what that struggle actually is.
Okay, so no touch of ukulele or steel guitar.
No, there's not. And again, that was a real conscious choice of saying, what would have that been? And once we started to, if we would have reinterpreted the music in it, which is certainly a viable option, and perhaps in the future someone will do that to the translations. But in this case, it served our purpose quite well to bring the contrast even more starkly so into the story.
Yeah, like you said, the juxtaposition.
Exactly.
The yin and yang, you're like...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. It'll be a very unique experience for all who can come. We have two venues for it. The first one is this January 14th at 7:30 at Doris Duke. That is here, on the Lulu side. And then our second performance will be over at Palaku on Friday, January the 18th, again at 7:30. And people can go online there at chambermusichawaii.org to purchase their tickets. and I do so. We only have the two performances scheduled at this point, you know. And it's, again, going to be a very interesting combination of music, mime, Hawaiian language, as well as dance and physical theater. I would say that for all who are interested, one of the things that sometimes people wonder is, well, am I going to understand the story if it's completely in Hawaiian? We have the subtext, supertext at one theater and subtext at the other. And it is also very physicalized. So they see the story through my art form, which is mime. I'm a Marsoyan-trained artist. And so they see the story as well as hear the story, read the story, and, of course, the music embodies it.
That was director Todd Farley, who has lived both here and in France, talking about the upcoming adaptation of this soldier's tale, Les Histoires du Soldat. He tells us there are more collaborations of classics reimagined in the Hawaiian culture in the pipeline.